Hello and welcome back to the reading of Tortured for Christ. This is the 14th reading. The author of this book was Richard Wurmbrand. He wrote it in 1967. It's now being distributed by Voice of the Martyrs, who gave me permission to read it through online. You can receive a free copy of this book by simply going to persecution.com and asking for it. There's a lot of other things that you can do there for the persecuted church at that site. I begin today from page 121. I've told of our own experience in spreading Christ's message secretly in the Soviet Army, as well as in Communist Romania. I've appealed to you to help preach Christ to the communists and to the people oppressed by them. Is my challenge visionary and unworkable? Is it realistic? Does the underground church exist now in Communist Asia and other captive nations? Is underground work still possible there now? To these questions we can answer with very good news. The communists celebrated well over half a century of communist rule, but their victory was a defeat. Christianity has won, not communism. The Russian press, which our organization researched thoroughly, was full of negative propaganda about the underground church. The Russian underground church had become so strong that it worked even semi-publicly, frightening the communists. And now, the present leadership of the former Soviet Union confirms the reports of the communist press. Remember, the underground church around the world today is like an iceberg. It's mostly below the surface, but often a small part operates in the open. In the following pages, I have preserved a short compilation of some of their victorious work in the 20th century. On November 7, 1966, in Suhumi, in the Caucasus Mountains, the underground church held a great meeting under the open skies. Many believers came from other cities to attend this meeting. After the altar call, 47 young people accepted Christ and were baptized on the spot in the Black Sea, just as in biblical times. After decades of communist dictatorship, having no Bibles, other Christian books, or seminaries, the ministers of the underground church are not trained theologians, but neither was Philip, the deacon. Yet a eunuch, with whom he had spoken for perhaps only an hour, asked him, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Well, there's enough water in the Black Sea, so the underground church reinstated the practices of the biblical time. Today, although the Communist Party no longer rules in Russia, Christians in several of the former Soviet republics face persecution. In the Teacher's Magazine of August 23, 1966, it states that a demonstration was organized in the streets of Rostov-on-Don by Baptists who refused to register their congregation and to obey their so-called leaders appointed by the communists. This occurred on the 1st of May, as Jesus performed miracles on the Sabbath days to defy his Pharisaic opponents. The underground church sometimes chose communist celebration days for defying communist laws. The 1st of May is a feast on which the communists always have their great demonstrations, which everyone is compelled to attend. But on this day, the second big force in Russia, the underground church, also appeared on the streets. 1,500 believers came. What compelled them was the love of God. They knew that they risked their liberty and that in prison, starvation and torture awaited them. Every believer in Russia knew the secret manifesto printed by the evangelical Christians in Barnaul, which describes how Sister Hamara of the village of Kulunda received the news that her husband had died in prison. She was left a widow with four small children. When she received the corpse of her husband, she could see the prints of manacles on his hands. The hands, fingers, and the bottom of his feet were horribly burned. The lower part of his stomach had knife marks on it. The right foot was swollen. On both feet were signs of beating. The whole body was full of wounds from horrible torture. Every believer who attended the public demonstration in Rostov-on-Don knew this would be his fare too, and still they came. But they also knew that this martyr, who had given his life for God only 3 months after his conversion, was buried before a great crowd of believers who had placards with these inscriptions, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God." The example of this martyr inspired those in Rostov-on-Don. They crowded around the little house. People were everywhere, some on nearby roofs, others in the trees like Zacchaeus. 80 people were converted, mostly young people. Out of this number, 23 were former Komsomols, members of the Communist Youth Organization. The Christians crossed the entire city, walking toward the River Don, where the new believers were baptized. Automobiles loaded with communist police soon arrived. The police surrounded the believers on the bank of the river, wanting to arrest the brethren in charge. They couldn't arrest all 1,500. The believers immediately fell to their knees and in a fervent prayer asked God to defend his people and permit them to have their service for that day. Then the brothers and sisters, standing shoulder to shoulder, surrounded the brethren leading the service, hoping to prevent the police from arresting them. The situation became very tense. The Gazette reported that the illegal Baptist organization in Rostov had an underground printing press. In Russia, the word Baptist included evangelicals and Pentecostals. In these underground publications, youth were called to stand for their faith, and Christian parents were asked to do what I also think is a very good thing, to take their children to attend burials in order to learn not to worry about transitory things. Parents were also encouraged to give a Christian education to their children as an antidote against the atheism with which they were poisoned in communist schools, in American schools too, I think. The Gazette finished the article by asking, "Why do teachers mix so timidly in the life of families in which children are idiotized by religion?" This Teachers magazine also described what happened at the trial of the underground workers who had baptized secretly. Quote, "The youthful believers called as witnesses were defiant and contemptuous of the communist court. They behaved angrily and fanatically. Young women spectators gazed with admiration at the defendants and with disapproval at the atheistic public," end of quote. Members of the underground church have risked beatings and imprisonment to appeal for more freedom in front of the Communist Party headquarters in Russia. We possess a document that had been smuggled to the West through secret channels. This document is from the Illegal Committee of the Evangelical Baptist Churches of the Soviet Union, as opposed to the communist-controlled Baptist Union led by the traitor Karev, who praised the humanity of the communist mass killers of Christians and magnified the liberty reigning there. In this secret document, we are told about another heroic public demonstration, this time in Moscow itself, and I translate from this manifesto. "Urgent communication, beloved brothers and sisters, blessing to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We hasten to tell you that the delegates of the churches of Evangelical Baptist Christians, numbering 500, who traveled to Moscow on May 16, 1966 for intervention with the central organs of power, went to the building of the Central Committee for the Communist Party of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics with the request to be received and heard. We delivered a petition addressed to the General Secretary Brezhnev." The manifesto further stated that these 500 men stood the entire day before the building. It was the first public demonstration in Moscow against communism, and it was made by the delegation of the underground church. At the end of the day, they delivered a second petition addressed to Brezhnev, in which they complained that a certain comrade Stroganov refused to transmit their request to Brezhnev and threatened them. The 500 delegates remained on the streets throughout the night in spite of rain, although they were verbally insulted and had mud splashed on them by passing cars. They remained until morning in front of the building of the Communist Party. On the next day it was proposed that the 500 brethren should enter a building to meet some minor communist officials. But knowing that believers who had visited the authorities were often beaten when they entered a building where there were no witnesses, these believers refused unanimously and continued to wait to be received by Brezhnev. And then the inevitable happened. At 1:45 p.m., 28 buses came, and the brutal revenge against the believers began. We formed a ring, and holding each other's hand, we sang the hymn, "The best days of our life are the days when we can bear a cross." The men of the secret police began to beat us, the young and old ones. They took men out of the row and beat them on the face and head, then threw them on the asphalt. They dragged some of the brethren to the buses by their hair. When some tried to leave, they were beaten until they lost consciousness. After filling the buses with believers, the police took them to an unknown place. The songs of our brethren and sisters were heard from the secret police buses. All this happened in the sight of a multitude of men. And now something more beautiful follows. After the 500 were arrested and surely tortured, Brother Georgi Vins and another leading brother named Horev, the real shepherds of Christ's flock, still had the courage to go to the same central committee of the Communist Party, just as after the arrest of John the Baptist, Jesus began his public teaching in the same place and with the same words for which John the Baptist had suffered, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Vins and Horev asked where the arrested delegation was and demanded their release. These two courageous brethren simply disappeared. Afterward, news was received that they were put in Lefortovskaya prison. Were these Christians of the underground church afraid? No. Others immediately risked their liberty again, publishing the manifesto that we have before us, telling the story of what happened, saying that to them, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." They exhorted the brethren that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, "for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this." 1 Thessalonians 3:3. They also quoted Hebrews 12:2 and called the believers to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The underground church openly opposed the atheistic poisoning of youth of Rostov and Moscow and all across Russia. They fought against the communist poison and against the treacherous leaders of the official church, about which they write in one of their secret manifestos, quote, "In our day, Satan dictates, and the church accepts all the decisions which are contrary to the commandments of God," end of quote. Pravda Vostoka published the trial proceedings against the brethren Alexei Neverov, Boris Ganashov, and Aksen Zubov, who organized groups to listen to gospel broadcasts from America. They recorded these messages on tapes, which they circulated afterward. They were also accused of having organized secret gospel meetings under the forms of excursions and artistic circles. Thus, the underground church works just as the early church worked in the catacombs of Rome. We'll continue this line of thought next time. Thank you for joining me today. We hope to return soon so that we can keep you in touch with what touches God's heart. Be sure to check out the rest of this series and my other series on Sermon Audio. Thank you.